Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 26, King Paranjana goes to the forest to hunt, text number 25. Vaktram nate vitalakam malinam viharsham. Samramba bhimam avirishtam apetaragam. Pashestanavapi suchao pahatao sujatao. Bimbadaram vigata vikunkum apankaragam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear wife, until this day, I have never seen your face without tilak decorations, nor have I seen you so morose and without luster or affection, nor have I seen your two nice breasts wet with tears from your eyes, nor have I ever seen you before, nor have I ever before seen your lips, which are ordinarily as red as a bimba fruit, without their reddish hue. Please repeat, my dear wife. Until this day, I have never seen your face without tilak decorations, nor have I seen you so morose and without luster or affection, nor have I seen your two nice breasts wet with tears from your eyes. Nor have I ever before seen your lips, which are ordinarily as red as the bimba fruit, without their reddish hue. Purport: every woman looks very nice, very beautiful when decorated with tilak and vermilion. A woman generally becomes very attractive when her lips are colored with reddish saffron or vermilion. But when one's consciousness and intelligence, without any brilliant thoughts about Krishna, they become morose and lusterless, so much so that one cannot derive any benefit despite sharp intelligence. Mam Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pradistai Bhutte Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Satarne. This part of the Srimad Bhagavatam is allegorical, and therefore, in the sense that what's being described is indicating different states of consciousness in this particular verse. And the consciousness that it's indicating is that without Krishna consciousness, everything is more or less a failure, although it may appear to be relatively superior or inferior. But the essential point is Krishna. Here it says, brilliant thoughts about Krishna, because Krishna is brilliant. And if one thinks about Krishna, the thoughts are also brilliant. We may think that in order to make Krishna brilliant, we may have to come up with something unique, something entertaining, something different, something new. As if when we saw Krishna, we think, well, it looks like the same old Krishna. What can we do to help him become a little bit more attractive? No, Krishna is ordinarily, unlimitedly attractive, and there's nothing we have to do to make him more attractive. Similarly, the philosophy about Krishna consciousness is always unique and brilliant, because Krishna is always brilliant and unique, and it's ever fresh. But in the material world, there are different types of intelligence, and in the material world, we're decorating this material energy with our different types of material intelligence. Some people have more material intelligence, Some people have less material intelligence, but generally material intelligence is utilized to arrange the material world to make it more attractive. Just like in astrology, there are many different planets and they all have their portfolios of intelligence. For instance, the sun, it has the portfolio of authority, the ability to steadily, well, see things in such a way as that one's intelligence is steady, because the sun gets up in the morning every day without fail and goes to sleep at the same time. So it's the most steady. And it also represents the inner vision, the reality that one sees, because that inner reality will determine one's activities during one's lifetime. The way one actually sees things, one's actual faith, will determine what one is actually doing in this world. We may claim so many different things, but actually the way we actually realize things is the way we act within this world. The moon represents the emotional side of nature, which is always changing, the way we feel about things at that moment. While Mars represents our convictions at that particular time, how we're going to react to the situation with determination, if at all. And Mercury represents our portfolio of information. Sometimes that's taken as intelligence, but it's only a particular type of intelligence, how much information we have. We may have a lot of information or little information. How we communicate that information is all under Mercury. And then we have Venus, love, culminating in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So Venus takes many different roles. Usually we look at Venus as mating, but actually Venus is represented in the planetary portfolio under Vishnu as Parasuram. Not exactly the most lovable of the incarnations. So, the other side of love is more or less destruction. And then we have Jupiter. Jupiter represents our faith, our conviction, our, after delineating everything, what is our philosophical outlook on things? Our philosophical outlook on things obviously has something to do with our inner vision of things, but we may sometimes even have a philosophy different from our vision, inner vision. We may have some conviction about something, inner actual faith, the way we act in the material world, but our philosophy may even be different from that. We may know what the right thing is, we just may not be convinced that that's what I'm actually supposed to be doing. In any case, there are many different varieties of intelligence, but we can work in this material world brilliantly, so-called brilliantly, with great amounts of information, especially in Kali Yuga. Great amount of information is taken as intelligence. Although, so much information, there's no direction. Direction comes from the sun. There's no purpose, there's no goal of all that information, just getting more and more information. And we may have many, many philosophical conclusions, just like there was the Digvijay, brilliant philosophical conclusions, but missing the absolute truth. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is Vedanti tat tattva vida tattva yaj gyanam advayam Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan Iti Shabdyate. First of all, the conviction that besides our intelligence, our perspective on life, our philosophical conclusions, our material desires, our emotions, and everything else that makes up this complicated material existence, there is a soul in there experiencing the whole thing and watching the whole thing. So that's Brahman, that it's not all just a big elaborate show going on. There's actually a soul inside there experiencing this whole thing, and there's a purpose to it. The whole thing is just not for so-called finding material enjoyment and avoiding distress in the material world, utilizing our intelligence, our words, our perspective, our desires, our emotions, to get happiness and avoid distress. There's another purpose to existence. So that seems rather strange to most people, that there can be some other reason to being here other than just enjoying and avoiding distress. But that has to do with the soul. And then above the soul, there is a super soul. In other words, we may think that it is our desires. We heard some class the other day where people were convinced, if I just desire something strong enough, the universe will arrange itself to fulfill my desire. My desire is supreme. Good luck. That is, I'll simply just sit there and I'll desire to get a PhD degree. And somehow or another, the universe will arrange it that my degree will arrive by mail, by express. Or I'll desire to become rich, and simply sitting there, I'll become rich. No, there's something we may desire, but there's someone who has to fulfill the desire. Namely, there's a super soul behind the creation, and he's not only looking at desires, he's actually looking what we're willing to do with those desires, what we want to do with them. So desire is not simply sitting there and desiring. Desire is also willing to do something on the basis of those desires. In any case, whether it's thinking, feeling, willing, all the soul really is doing is desiring, but there are different ways the soul is desiring. Sometimes the desire is just desire. It just goes through the mind. It's the desire, I really like this. But I really don't want to utilize this present body or my words or anything else to get to fulfill that desire. I simply want to sit there and enjoy that desire. But the soul actually has the desire that this body be utilized to fulfill that desire. And that's a different type of desire, but it's a desire connected with the body. And therefore Krishna understands when we're simply whimsically desiring, and we're just desiring, and when we're actually desiring to do something or to say something. Therefore, there are different varieties of desires, but they culminate in thinking, feeling, and willing, and then activities. In any case, simply to have brilliant desires is not enough. We also have to understand that it's all being enacted through the super soul, that he's the supreme controller, although our part is played by our desires, but it's not the final say in anything. And then above that is the supreme Lord, Krishna. It is not that Krishna simply expands himself into the material world in order to just fulfill the little desires of the souls, and therefore he's just spending his whole existence watching the desires of the souls and then fulfilling them. He has his own desires, and it's not simply to sit around watching our desires. He's not Big Brother, simply watching us and think, wow, there's the wrong desire, throw him to hell. I'll teach you, stupid soul. Ah, burn, burn, surrender. Or, this is nice soul, I'll pet him a little bit. Give him a nice harp to play for a while. No, that's not Krishna's business. His real business is in the spiritual world, enjoying blissful activities out of love with his other liberated souls. That we can't understand, because there's simply varieties of feeling that produce varieties of ecstatic pleasure out of love. That love for Krishna and for Krishna's associates in the spiritual world means different varieties of pleasure. But that's a different realm of experience. But the materialists, neither they know about the realm of the soul, nor do they know about the super soul, what to speak of the supreme soul. And therefore their activities are centered around perfecting a life of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Those who are advanced material, those who are ordinarily materialists, they think that just by eating, sleeping, mating, defending in the mode of ignorance, our life will be successful and happy and enjoyable and peaceful. But this is not the way the material nature works. This is called demoniac. Demoniac means in the mode of ignorance. They believe chintyam aparayam cha pralayam tamupashitya kama pavoga paramam etavam iti nischitya. They believe that to gratify the senses unto the end of life is the prime necessity of human civilization, and therefore there is no measurement to their anxiety. In other words, in gross ignorance, which current society is aiming for, that they have some basic belief that if my senses simply contact their objects, then I'll be happy and peaceful. And the more I have an opportunity to contact my senses with their objects, the more happy and peaceful I'll become. In other words, if I get the ability to enjoy consistent or perpetual sense gratification, then my life is successful. Just like I mentioned at the on an airplane one time, I was talking to a man next to me, and this is some years ago, he was eating his food, some poor dead animal, or animals, we'd never know. And he was talking about how much anxiety what he was in while he was listening to rock music watching the movie. And at the same time, he was smoking a cigarette and reading the newspaper. And he didn't realize, he thought, you know, I'm doing everything necessary to make myself happy. He couldn't realize why he was in anxiety. So similarly, Krishna says, he has a different perspective. He says that avritam jnana etena jnana no nityavarina kama rupena kuntaya dusprena analena cha. Thus the man's pure consciousness is covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire. In other words, they think sinful activities is actually bliss. We heard when Prabhupada's godbrother was asked by one Lord Zetlin from England, the former governor of Bengal, can you make me a Brahmin? He asked Prabhupada's godbrother. He said, yes, if you follow these four principles, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating, then you can become a Brahmin. And Lord Zetlin, an educated, sophisticated Britisher, said, impossible. They can. And we see in Prabhupada's lectures, discussing with sometimes cardinals, sometimes with spiritual people, they agree, you know, they talk about the soul and about spirituality and loving everyone. And Prabhupada would throw in something like, you know, it is not just loving your fellow man. And they'd be shocked. What do you mean it's not about loving my fellow man? It's about loving God. They go, love, just loving God? No, Prabhupada said, if you love God, then you'll love everyone. Because everyone is included. Not just man. Even the animals. Even the animals? What are you trying to say? Well, you're not supposed to kill animals. Well, you're not supposed to kill animals. But you're supposed to, you know, we're supposed to help man, feed man. You got to kill those animals to feed man. No, they're also Krishna's, you know, children. But that's not possible because they taste good. How can they be Krishna's children? You're spoiling my life with your philosophy. So Prabhupada didn't, you know, accept this sentimental, you know, love everyone and eat your brother or your mother. No, Prabhupada, the philosophy is consistent, and it's, as Prabhupada said, it's exacting. You can't get away with the fact that not only we're souls or people who look like you or like you, they're souls, and everyone else is edible. Or if you can't eat them, you can use their body to keep yourself, you know, throw them in the fire and keep yourself warm. somehow or another utilize their body for your sense gratification. No, there is a philosophy about the soul, and if one wants to actually be spiritual, one has to have that vision about the soul, and one can change it to suit one's sense gratification. And Prabhupada's preaching was about that, and that's Krishna's preaching. Yesham antakatam papam jananam punyakarmanam. That those who, Krishna says, yesham antakatam papam. First of all, if you want to become spiritual, give up sinful activity. Modern Kali Yuga, people don't want to hear there's such a thing as sin. They think sin is when you're refraining someone from gratifying their senses. That's the highest sin. That you're a good person if you, you know, appreciate whatever one is doing, as long as they're not eating you. Do your own thing. Let live and let live. Go with the flow. So this is all Mayavadi philosophy, which has infected the entire, more or less, modern civilization. And we want to be polite to everyone. Like this modern, even the ISKCON movement, this modern interfaith. Interfaith usually means Prabhupada engaged in interfaith dialogue, and he called them, you know, when he talked to one cardinal in France, he said that, you know, why are you eating your mother? You know, this is not good. If you want to be religious, you can't eat your mother. And the cardinal couldn't understand that. And Prabhupada didn't say, oh, it's all right, let's go on to another topic. No, he kept on that same topic. And even the cardinal was complaining, is that all you want to talk about? Can't, no. He said, without talking about this topic, you won't understand any other topic. Therefore, I'm talking about this topic. You can't be spiritual unless you give up eating your brother or your mother. I'm a very pious person. I only eat my mother every Friday. I take a little bit out of her, you know, whatever. Whatever's left, I put in the refrigerator. So Prabhupada didn't get away from that topic. He didn't try to, you know, yes, let's all be friends and whatever else and see what we mutually agree with. We disagree with eating our mother, but we must agree with something else. No, yesham antakatam papam. There's no question of spiritual unless one is refraining from sin, and we know what sin is. You can't kill or put into difficulty any other living entity for no purpose at all other than your sense gratification. That's sinful. And as long as you're sinful, you can't understand the reality. You can't understand the soul. You can't understand the super soul. You can't, what to speak of Bhagavan. There's no question of understanding anything. Therefore, that's the first principle, how to become sinless. I think Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, he started when he was younger a society for sinless men. Then we can start to understand, then our activities become meaningful. Other than that, we may be a Lord Brahma creating universes, and everyone's amazed at our ability, or we may be the insignificant ant constructing a little nest, one of the workers. In any case, without Krishna consciousness, it's all shravam eva hi kevalam. And Krishna consciousness is not some sentimental, spiritual understanding. It means practical activities with this body, mind, and words. Practical desires. Not that whatever I desire, it's all spiritual. I'm Krishna conscious because I love Krishna. No, there are different types of desire. And it's what we do with this body is more or less the culmination of our desires. It's not just one other desire. What we do with this body really shows where our desires are at. So not that I'm eating my pork and I'm chanting Hare Krishna, but because I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I'm a good person. No, if I was actually chanting Hare Krishna, I wouldn't be eating pork. or chopsticks. What are they called? Chops? Lamb chops. No, it'd be if I was chanting Hare Krishna, then I would be free from my sinful activity. So the question is, we're not condemning anyone because they're sinful. They're condemning themselves, but we're giving them a chance, an opportunity to chant Hare Krishna, all of us, because who's not sinful in this world? Who's perfectly absorbed in Krishna consciousness above all kinds of material desires? No, but Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prabhupada is giving us a chance to become free from our sinful activities by chanting Hare Krishna and by following the principles he's given us within this literature, so that we can actually come to the platform of sinless life, Krishna conscious life. Then our sharp intelligence, that's the most meaningful intelligence. That is the intelligence that takes us out of material consciousness into spiritual consciousness. That's real intelligence. So we're not trying to do it by restraining the senses or doing so many different types of austerities or penance. We're simply trying to arrange our life in such a way as we become Krishna conscious. Beginning with hearing about Krishna, talking about Krishna, trying to understand Krishna, following Krishna's instructions, and that way try to develop our real desire to be in Krishna consciousness and to work for Krishna in devotional service. So that's real intelligence. Even if we have a little of that intelligence, it's worth unlimited amount of material intelligence. Tadbhudyas tadatmanas tam nishtas tadparayana gachanyapuna avritim gyananiya dutta kalmashaha. When one's faith, mind, and refuge are all fixed in the Supreme, then one becomes fully cleansed of all material desires and thus proceed straight on the path of self-realization. So it doesn't matter who we are, what we're doing, what we've done in the past. The important thing is now in the present to try to utilize our intelligence to fix our faith, our mind, our refuge, everything. Put it into Krishna by following the program that Prabhupada has given us. And that way, proceed on the path towards self-realization. And then Krishna says, Gyanena tu tara gyanam yesha natmanam atmanaha tesham adityavaj gyanam prakashiti tatparam. When, however, one's enlightened by the knowledge by which nations is destroyed, then his knowledge reveals everything just like the sun lights up everything in the daytime. So this knowledge is actually brilliant. People may be given so many prizes and praise and material facility by their materialistic endeavors. But actually what's really brilliant is the one who actually becomes conscious of Krishna and works for Krishna and serves Krishna. That is the glory. That is real glory. Everything else is just shrama evahi kevalam. Just ultimately full of sound and fury but signifying nothing. Blend with Shakespeare. Any questions? Yes. Just stick it in. You rascal. Well, we have to use our intelligence. So it's Prabhupada, obviously, he may have been in a position as an acharya of a society, respectable, elderly Indian gentleman, to be like that. But we shouldn't think, well, we're just relatively younger Westerners, and we have to, we're dealing with such exalted personalities, we just have to listen to what they say. No, we have to use our intelligence. So if the topic is interfaith dialogue, for instance, then we should tell our position in a nice way, a respectable way, listen to them. But obviously they're in ignorance. And they're in ignorance about the most essential thing. So if we really want to not waste our time, I mean, if we're doing it just out of politics so that the big bad government doesn't come down on us and we want to appear to be respectable, That may be some other strategy. But if we're actually trying to have an interfaith dialogue with people, we should know what they have to understand. It's not our philosophy, it's reality. Now, if we're going to deal with people who are sincere, you know, that they'll naturally agree. Not that Prabhupada had every religious person he spoke to, he had to point that out. Many of them could understand immediately that what we were saying was true. And those who did understand that what he was saying was true, usually, for instance, Professor Kotowski, he wasn't dealing with interfaith religion, he was dealing with philosophy. And when he saw Mr. Professor Kotowski couldn't even understand the difference between matter and spirit, he changed the topic to, we should have first-class men in this world, people who are, you know, relatively clean and truthful, whatever. And when Professor Kotowski couldn't understand that, Prabhupada asked him if he could get a taxi for him. And when Professor Kotowski couldn't get a taxi, then he realized that, you know, anyhow, thank you very much. We'll see you some other time. So we should be alert and intelligent, deal with people politely, but we should have a goal. We should know why, how we're serving Krishna. But some of them, you know, are relatively more elevated. They may not have such a big position. But we should be there discussing things as a servant of Krishna, not simply to make people pleased with us. At the same time, we shouldn't be there so that we can show our ego how much superior we are either. That we should, you know, put them into stress or just to, you know, soothe my false ego. So we're there to serve Krishna, and what that means, we have to use our intelligence. We have to understand that in the background, that this person is also Krishna's eternal servant. And we should try to help them make progress in Krishna's service, whatever that means. We find that when Prabhupada was talking to reporters, it wasn't simply an interview. Prabhupada actually, we could see, they actually had concern about that person particularly. Also, it wasn't just some official interview. Prabhupada never lost his Krishna consciousness. So we should be intelligent in the forefront to know how to interact with people in a practical way. And in the background, we shouldn't forget they're also Krishna's servants like we are. And we're simply trying to become Krishna's instrument to help them revive their relationship with Krishna, whatever that takes. Anything else? Yes. Yeah, sure, because you also get any God is the king. Why just the animals? Why not your children and your wife? If you're the king, you should eat everything.
He doesn't have the soul, only man.
Only man. Yeah, that was Aquinas, I think. He said that also. Only man have souls. Animals don't have any soul, and women have something in between souls. So that's their philosophy. You know, when the cow is crying, when you take its calf away, it's not the soul, there's no soul there, it's just a physical reaction. So that's their philosophy. So, you know, I wouldn't associate with such people because if they get hungry, they may decide by some philosophical trick that you have no soul either. You may be their next victim. God said. Well, our God didn't say that. Maybe your God says that. Yes. Yeah, there are different varieties. We meet Hare Krishnas also, who follow the principles, and they're also blocked. So it's not that just by following the four regular principles. I mean, it will give us an opportunity to see things a little clearer, hopefully. But if we're, you know, we're following the four regular principles, lamenting the fact that I'm following four regular principles, as we used to say, you know, we think if only I could only follow three regular principles, life would be better. No meat, no fish, no eggs. So it's one thing, and even if we're perfectly happy following four regular principles because my senses don't work anymore anyhow, then, you know, there's another thing about positively trying to do something to please Krishna with my body, mind, and words. Then we'll actually not be blocked anymore if we actually have that mood. But that's the block. Maya is saying, you know, wait on, what does Krishna ever do for you? You know, who is this Krishna anyhow, you know? Besides that, he has enough. Why should you give him anything else? You're the one who's poverty-stricken. He should be given to you. So many different rascal ideas. Yeah, because they are God. Yeah, I mean, anyone who doesn't see God, who doesn't understand God, they think they're the center of the universe. Everything revolves around them. They're going to enter into the void. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. Everything is just about them. Nothing, you know, they don't see anything outside themselves. And anyone can help them with their plans, they also become good. And anyone who doesn't help them with their plans, they're bad. That's the, but the whole thing is about them. Yes?
You mentioned also that the trees are actually also our brothers. But if what God's trees here on the Radhanesh property and we throw these trees in the burn, is that also considered to be a sin?
No, because it's heating up Radha Gopinath's temple. And therefore the trees get some benefit from doing it. If we just, you know, because we're doing it for Radha Gopinath. It's the consciousness. We're not throwing the trees in there. Radha and Gopinath want us to do it. If they tell us not to do it, we wouldn't do it. What we're doing is a service to them. And the trees get benefited. Just like if one offers a flower from a plant to Radha Gopinath, the plant gets benefited too. Similarly, we offer the milk from the cows to Radha Gopinath, the cow gets benefit. So that's why we're not vegans. We're trying to benefit the cows too. So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Bol.